cliffcentral.com.
Yes, I was watching that John Oliver clip that everybody's talking about last night about sex education, and it's fantastic. That guy has just got a way of cutting through the crap like nobody else. I love him. So if you want to see what I'm talking about, you can go onto my Twitter. I think it's my last tweet from last night sometime, and you could watch it yourself. Every kid in the world should actually watch the video at the end of it. It's a long clip, but it is well worth it. It's the first time he's got a whole bunch of celebrities in.
Well, what is the gist of it, if I don't know what you're talking about?
Basically, John Oliver looked at the state of sex education in America.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some states where you're not allowed to teach kids about sex at all, you know, because parents would be embarrassed that you even brought it up. They'd prefer their kids to be ignorant mm-hmm. and make terrible mistakes than to have to face their kids and talk about genitals and things. And then there are people who give sex education, and they frighten the bejesus out of kids. I mean, he gives examples. He shows a clip of this woman on a stage at a school who basically tells kids, you know, if you have sex before you're married to one person and you only have sex with that one person in your life, but if you have sex before that, you will die.
Oh, okay.
You know, that kind of poison.
You will get chlamydia and die.
Yeah. It's just really mean. And obviously then there's that whole Jesus thing about, you know, your virginity is something you still got to care about in 2015. Yeah, virginity. A ridiculous concept.
Does he say anything about those programs where they will give teenagers these dolls that they're supposed to take home and look after for a week? Does he say anything about that kind of approach and whether that stuff works?
No, but he shows a video from probably the 1970s, which is meant to be a sex ed video.
Oh dear, from the what now? 70s.
1970s, but it is so, I mean, it's so euphemistic and bad. Basically, this guy and this girl are at the bowling alley, and he goes, I wonder why she's bowling so well. She never used to bowl so well. I wonder what it is. She's like a superpower. And then she goes, oh, it's menstruating. And he goes, what's that? And she goes, it's when blood comes out of my uterus. You know? That's just unbelievable. Oh, and he opens this thing up and says, listen, we're supposed to be one of the smartest countries in the world. We don't know how to educate people about the simplest thing. They don't need to know calculus as much as they need to know sex education, right?
Spot on, yeah.
Because the chances of everyone using calculus, very poor. The chances of everyone using sex education, very high. And you don't have these conversations with your parents. Let's be honest. Nobody wants to. It's very awkward and uncomfortable. And even if you do, it's always very clinical. It's always like, you know, the man sleeps with the woman and the penis goes in the vagina and then boom, you're born. Because your parents want to get out of that as quickly as possible and so do you. It's not a... Who wants to sit and talk to their parents about sex? But the worst part is you never get good advice from them either. You're not going to go to your family and go, so how do I like last really long and impress the chick? Or if you're a girl, how do I say no to the guy without putting him off? Because you know what the answer is going to be from strict conservative people. Like, you shouldn't even find yourself in that situation.
Exactly.
You know, abstinence is key. But that's not realistic. So anyway, he goes into this whole thing. And I think it's about 7 minutes long. It's worth every second, though. He pretty much lays it out there. And at the end, which is why you got to watch it to the end, he makes his own sex ed video with a whole lot of celebrities. And they basically, they don't mess around. They put condoms and on bananas and things. And they say, and it's these funny people, and they're very matter-of-fact about it. And they say, you know, these are the different things that can happen. And this is what you should know. That's all. No judgment. Do your thing. Some people will mock you if you do have sex. Some people mock you if you don't have sex. There's this one commercial, Mabali, where they show a girl and her boyfriend. And the boyfriend goes, opens a box, and there's a pair of sneakers in there.
Mm-hmm.
He pulls out the sneakers and goes, oh no, honey. These sneakers are so old and used, it looks like the whole football team wore these sneakers. And she goes, but I made sure they all wore their own socks. And he goes, I don't want a second hand, third hand, fourth hand pair of sneakers. I want a fresh new pair of sneakers. You know, hinting that she shouldn't have slept with anyone before.
She's used goods, right, so she's no longer good
right,
enough for
so
him.
So she's a waste. Like, just these really bad, anachronistic, backward points of view about women. And, you know, in the video he makes, he's like, you are not a used pair of sneakers if you've slept with somebody. And, you know, there's this other, like, old, witchy-looking woman who takes a piece of tape and she sticks it on different guys in the audience's arm. And then she pulls it off and then she sticks it on another guy's arm. And she goes, you see, eventually it loses its stickiness. You know, that's like a vagina. If you use it too much, it becomes worn out and useless. Which is just horrible. You imagine a little girl growing up. And then she gets to puberty and, you know, she gets a little bit older and she starts having sex. And then she starts feeling like used goods because someone told her that that's what you are. Anyway, it's really good to watch. And your parents have been looking for the longest time for the way to bring this up with their kids. I would say the John Oliver clip will help you. Really. It would do a lot more than some of these terrible, terrible documentaries and books where they always have these creepy-looking 20-something-year-olds who are pretending to be kids. Have you seen those books?
That was the worst. Guy's
bad.
Balding and he's trying to be an 18-year-old.
Yeah, yeah, he's like, I don't know what to do. Or else it's some spotty, ugly kid who... And nobody wants to learn about sex from ugly people.
Hmm. No,
you know what
no,
I mean?
No.
Good Lord. Anyway.
Ugly people have sex,
yes,
too.
Yes, I know. But they mustn't do it in front of me. All right.
But such a good point you make about sex education being more important than calculus. I mean, you never see two...
Hey, Mubs, I own a mirror, right? I know what you're talking about. What's that, Ben?
You never see two 40-year-old guys in the bar going, I wish I didn't get those two calculus problems wrong when I was in my 20s.
No, exactly. Thank you. I just love the way the guy tears things apart and makes sense out of the nonsense. He's very good. John Oliver. I'm not going to play you the clip. It's too long, but go and take a look. It's really worthwhile. Hey, Flax, of all people, you should go and take a look, because I can't help thinking that some of the lessons that you were given and some of the advice that you were given is probably very bad.
I had like 2 years of sex education at school.
Yeah, well.
Grade 8 and grade 9.
And you're still swiping left and right.
Well, grade 8, you watch a video with like, they separate the girls and the boys and you watch a video. Yeah. Everybody watches the same video across schools.
Yeah.
It's this animated video of this guy, like he goes on like a diving board and then he gets an erection and then the teacher stops it and explains what happens. Then he'll be in bed and he'll wake up and there'll be like white stuff everywhere. Teacher stops the video, explains what
everywhere.
Happens.
Everywhere.
It's like then, the foam on the sea, yeah?
Then in grade 9, it starts getting more visual because she'll bring in a company that brings in a cucumber, then shows you how to apply a condom. They show you, they take a tampon.
They need
tampon.
A whole company to do this?
Yeah.
Wow.
They take a tampon and they put it in water and it just absorbs the water, turns into a flower.
Listen, that kind of thing is pretty terrifying if you're a boy and you've never seen a tampon and if you're a girl and you've never seen a cucumber with a condom on it.
Yeah, you know what? We must get over it, hey?
Yeah, well, look, at least it looks like your school did something, which is more than you could say for some of them. All right. Really, the best education you could have is to follow Michael Flax around with a camera. That would be pretty frightening. All right, so lots to get into today. We've got Justice Malala coming in a bit later on. He's always terrific, and I need him this week. You don't understand. He's actually going to be on Skype because he's in Cape Town, but I need him this weekend. I need to make sense of the craziness that is our country right now. So Justice Malala will be on the line. We'll talk to him as usual at 7 o'clock. We've got the guy who invented iPhonography, Mubs. You know, iPhonography is this big thing. In fact, the iStore here in Sandton does a regular exhibition once a year. He is amazing. He does all of his photography on an iPhone 6. 6 Plus, I think. He's a judge, too. He founded it. We're going to talk to him. He's a fan of Snapseed Photography, the app. And he can tell us how to take better pictures with our phones. I mean, some phones are amazing. Some phones are not so good. But, you know, you could learn to take pictures better. And actually, Flax, that's one thing I got to tell you. You are amazing at taking these pictures. And I saw some of your pics yesterday. You were on one of those Justin Bieber Brooklyn Beckham skateboard
they
things.
They're called Flyboys, and they're going to be the in thing in the world.
They already are. I see everybody using them.
There's like four people in South Africa that have them, and it's like AKA and Deleuze, and I saw like a whole article got written out about them.
Now, what are they? It's basically a skateboard with lights on it.
It's like it works on like gyroscopes and stuff like that, and it like self-balances you.
Were you any good?
I'm so good right now.
Do you have it?
Yeah.
Bring it in here.
Well, I don't have it here. Oh, it's at home. Shit. But I can bring it in tomorrow.
Yeah, bring it
ben
in.
Ben was trying it yesterday. Yeah.
It's like a Segway without the hand thing. So it's smaller. It's a bit more difficult than the Segway.
Yeah?
But it's pretty amazing.
And it's a chick magnet.
Because I was used to it. You reckon?
100%. It's got lights on it. I'm actually thinking of taking it to a shopping center. Oh. I don't know if it's allowed in shopping centers.
No, probably won't be. There's no fun in shopping centers.
Yeah, you see, Michael Flex thinks that the chicks will see the lights and will start following him like all the rats followed the Pied Piper.
Like a magpie. Yeah. Goes for shiny
that's,
stuff.
That's what he's thinking. As you know, Michael, women are that stupid. But go on.
I think people will be curious to see what it is. They'll ask if they can try it. And starts conversation.
It would be so much fun in a shopping center because of like the very cool floors. Because I tried it on the bricks outside.
It's a bit difficult.
And I thought I was going to break a bone.
But there's no reason why it wouldn't be allowed in a shopping center. It takes as much space as your feet take up on the floor.
Well, why don't you go check it out? Why not try?
I'm going to try the parking lot and slowly move inside the shopping center.
Yeah, see what happens.
But Justin Bieber's got one, so...
Yeah, of course.
Makes me feel special.
Yeah, just tell the security guys that and they'll let you through.
But you do... you're a pretty good photographer. He's actually the king of selfies around here.
I call them Insta-jizzles. Because they're just so amazing.
All right, thank you. Wow, that went south really quickly. Jennifer says on WeChat this morning, I just legit realized that I never, not once, was taught how to put a condom on a man. You see? There we go. Convent schools, she says. Did girls just learn this in a co-ed school, or did they leave us out because she went to a convent school? Did you get taught any of this stuff?
Mm-mm. I went to an all-girls school. Nobody bothered to teach us any of this stuff. So you just figure it out yourself.
You just waited for the physical education teacher to corner you in the gym.
Luckily, I had an older sister who was very frank about these things to me.
Yeah, that's often where you get the best.
Yeah, and my mom also. She wasn't too uncomfortable to talk to me about
your mom's a teacher, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so she would have been sensible about it.
Yes.
Adriana says, finally get a chance to listen to you live before the kids wake up this morning. Thank you for an ever brilliant show. I love your interviews, Garrett. So down to earth, always educational. Yeah, we've had some fun people in the last few days. I just think of Mark Lottering last Friday. He was raving about it. He had so much fun.
He's
a
cool.
Good guy, yeah. Isn't he cool? Lovely. All right, so plenty to talk about today. I've also got, do you want to bring Ryan in? Flax, he got here so early. You remember Ryan Strummer at Mubs? We spoke to him when he crossed the sea between Alaska and Russia.
Remember, yeah, we chatted to him on the phone.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's all coming back to me.
Came in here in a Speedo. That was the previous time to that. He really has done some pretty bizarre things. He represented South Africa in a world-first two-way relay attempt across the notoriously difficult North Channel. That's between Ireland and Scotland. So they go Ireland, Scotland, back to Ireland. Across cold,
it's so cold,
seas. That's not a pleasant way to go. So I'm going to talk to him about it. He's been sitting outside since 6 o'clock, the poor man. It's bad enough that you have to cross these very cold seas, but to wake up extra early to come and be with us, that's more challenging, right?
Gareth, it was painful. And I don't know why it's so painful, because I'm usually in the water by now, training.
Well done, man. Sure, look at this new record with you.
Thank you.
It's the first world record achievement, along with your relay team, during the North Channel swim.
Yeah.
It's very impressive stuff, man.
Yeah, so what had never been done before was, no one's ever made it from Ireland to Scotland and back in any format.
Well, they've all died along the way. Well, it's a stupid thing to do.
I don't know. There are no sharks there, so, you know, unlike the walruses you gave me a hard time about in
Russia. Yes, I remember
there's
that.
There's no walrus. Yeah.
So who went with you?
It was only me from South Africa.
Yeah.
And I joined a team from Ireland, Finland, Czech Republic, Estonia, and Sweden. So I represented the country here. And it actually happened in quite a funny way, because I have aspirations to try and solo swim from Ireland to Scotland.
How far is that? What's the distance?
36 kilometers. So you've got the English Channel, which is kind of the Everest of
That's
long
like
distance.
Pretoria to Johannesburg.
Is it?
Something like that.
I'm from Cape Town.
Yeah, of course. Pretoria to Johannesburg, call it 36, 30, 40 Ks. Yeah. It's a long way.
Yeah, so I wanted to do it solo probably in about 2 years' time, start the training. So I phoned them up and said, started to gather some info because there's a body that organizes all these things. And they said, well, we're looking for a sixth person to make up this international team for a world first attempt.
Right. So you thought, well, this would be great practice for me to do it solo.
Well, it sounds funny, but you want to test the water. And there's something that lives in the North Channel that freaks me out a little bit. And it's called a lion's mane jellyfish. And you hear these stories about it all the time, and it stops most of the swims. Only 25 people have ever made it one way from Ireland to Scotland.
What does it do to you?
It stings you, Mabali, hard.
And then what happens?
Well, everyone reacts differently, and you don't know until you're stung.
Jesus, you could die.
So my mission was A, to be part of a world first thing. And then also, I kind of thought it would be a good idea to get stung in a relay format, because I could then process how that all works and how I'm going to react to it.
And you got stung?
I got stung to hell and back.
There are a lot of these things, clearly.
It's luck of the draw, because sometimes they sit just a little bit lower in the water and you swim right over them. But in our case, when we finally got in the water, there were millions and millions and millions of them. And it's just the most horrific thing. And what I didn't click was, because being a relay, you have a swim. We swim for a solid hour in rough water.
Revolting looking. These are some scary looking things, man.
Oh, you've Googled God. Them.
They're enormous.
Oh. Yeah. And you know what, Gareth? Quite often, they were sitting upside down, so that the jelly part was facing downwards, and these 4 to 5 meter tentacles were up and,
These are huge, monstrous things.
It's a horrible thing. It's absolutely horrible. But what I didn't click was the accumulated poison. That's what really got me, because being a relay, you swim for now, then you get out and while the other guys swim, and then eventually you go back in. So I got stung on my first session, and then it just got worse and worse. Every time I got back in, I got stung in the same places. It got sore and sore, and that poison
gets you in the balls.
Well, I had a speedo on, thankfully, so no. But it got me in the face and the lips and the nose. And, but then it just gets a little bit worse, because now you're swimming all the time and you're getting a stiff neck because you're trying so hard to look forward so you can just get that little bit of warning before it hits you.
Wow.
And then it gets dark. And because our swim took 30 hours, we swam right through the night. So you literally go into that water. You might as well have a blindfold on. You can see absolutely nothing. You just swim and grin and bear it till you get your next hit.
Can't you wear anything to protect you from these monsters?
Well, if you want to be recognized,
they're monsters. They're horrible monsters.
You know what? They're terrible. I don't like them. But
this proves there's no God. No God would make something that horrific. That's got to be just nature evolving some kind of disgusting creature because it's got nothing else to do.
Do you know how many times I thought that while I was swimming?
Oh, they're horrendous.
What is the point? They just sit there to irritate you.
You can't wear a wetsuit and it'll protect you.
No. Well, I mean, you could, but then you're not going to get recognized for your swim. So we follow FINA rules or English Channel rules.
So what does that mean you have to wear?
Speedo, goggles, and cap only.
Oh,
what is it with you?
But why are they that strict, though? What's the reason?
Well, because the real challenge of the swim, you can get fit enough to do the distance, but it's a very cold body of water. So it's 12.5 degrees Celsius. And the element of cold has a profound and devastating effect on the human, on your mind.
Why didn't you have a hobby of making model trains? What's wrong with you?
I just don't know, Gareth, but I enjoy it. You know, it's
what terrible what we thing went to do through, to yourself.
What we went through to accomplish the swim, I mean, it doesn't sound that complicated, but the real victory for me on this particular challenge was actually before we even got into the water. And that is because there are only two people who are qualified to take you across. They're two boat skippers. Yeah. And they're the guys who take you from Ireland to Scotland. And you know, the success rate is fairly low. And as I said, 25 people have made it. So we employed the best of the two, what we think is the best of the two. And we arrived in Ireland and we get a week window. You've got to obviously watch the weather. But because we wanted to swim there and back, you need at least 24-hour weather window to look good enough to go out.
Right.
And our pilot on the morning of our swim when we were planning to go said, no, it's looked terrible. The weather has closed in. We're not going to do it. So we tried a few other dates. and he cancelled the whole thing and said it's just too dangerous to go out. You've got to understand, you've got it's a channel, so when the tides flow, they flow 6 hours one way, so it's almost like a river. Mm. The water moves very fast. Now, if you get the wind in the opposite direction, it churns that water up, and it's very, very hard for a boat, quite a big rig, to sit next to a swimmer who's in the water, because the way the boat goes up on a wave, swimmer gets washed in the current underneath the boat comes down. So they're very nervous about that. So essentially they sent us home and said, not going to happen, come back some other time next year.
Yeah.
And that's where I had to work on some South Africanisms, because what I've learned traveling with a guy called Rambar Kai and Kyron Polfram and Andrew Chin over the years, I followed them quite a lot. And when we get to a situation that is impossible, that everybody says, no, it's stupid, it's not going to work,
yeah,
we make a plan and we get a little hard-assed about it, and we figure it out. So now I'm sitting in Ireland and we've been told it's not going to happen, go home. So I just said, there's absolutely no way I'm going home. I'd rather get in the water, get halfway and be pulled out because it's too dangerous or whatever. At least we tried. And they just don't have that mentality because it's all safety, and I respect that. But we eventually, at the 11th hour, found a boatman who was very qualified as a boatman.
Was he a drunk?
Well, he was coming. No, he definitely wasn't a drunk, but he was coming into the harbor after a whole night out on the water. Yeah. And we kind of approached him and said, hey, we want to do this world first, and you want to be part of it, but we want to go there and back. And he looked at the weather charts and decided that...
You'll give it a try. What the fuck all to do all over?
It was exactly like that.
Oh, don't worry, I'm ready for it.
£3,000.
I lost my wife to a lion's mane jellyfish. This is nothing.
So anyway, he said he would take us.
And then he drank at the bar the next night.
You know, I met some fucking insane South African. Wanted to swim across. What do you want to swim across for?
Was beautiful, and he did very well, huh? But took us.
Now, do these boats that you say they travel along with you, so obviously you don't, because you could change direction and end up in Norway.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're your eyes and ears and everything else, and you've got a crew and officials on board to make sure you follow all the rules. Quite strict rules about how relays work. You know, we had to submit the 6 swimmers up front, and we had to show their rotation order. So there was the guy from Estonia started, then there was me, then all the others. And if we variate or deviated from that at all, cancelled.
How many men did you lose on this mission?
We didn't lose any. Because if we had lost...
Good. You would have been on Sky News for a week.
I know. It would have been great, but no one would play ball. I wasn't going down. But the jellies nearly got me, because that poison accumulates and accumulates. And at one stage, I would come out of from my hour session, and I would lie there. You first got to get rid of the cold and the shivers. It takes about 2 hours. And then I realized I wasn't cold anymore, but I was still shivering. And I was getting pains that were kind of shooting through my chest and the balls of my feet. What happens, all the poison goes down and it accumulates in the balls of your feet.
Oh,
for whatever.
Not in the balls.
No,
because that would sound like a very harrowing experience.
You know what? I might just change my hobby if that was the case.
I think you should anyway. I'm just as an outside observer. There are other hobbies that are fun.
Got a few more things to do, Gareth.
But what does it feel like to have a body that... basically runs like a super engine, because most of us have bodies that run like bicycles at best. I mean, well, most of us will never know what it's like to be supremely fit. What does that feel like to have your body functioning at its highest level?
Well, good, but you know, you never feel like you've reached your highest level.
Huh.
You know, you always feel that I could do more. I could be fitter. There are fitter people out there. You see them, and I want to try get there. So yeah, it's great to be super fit. And it's great, but it's almost a burden, because I know how hard it is to get to the fitness I'm at. So when I'm like come back from a challenge from, I remember I swam on the Tuesday right through the night to the Wednesday in Ireland, and then on Saturday morning I was back swimming laps in a pool in Cape Town. And you kind of have a moment thinking, oh, you know,
why do I do this?
Why?
But you think your body is I mean, you obviously get a thrill out of being in this cold water and feeling these extremes.
I get a thrill. I find it very challenging, and that's how I got into it. Because, you know, the cold makes you negative. It induces, extreme cold induces panic, pain, fear, and it comes together and it kind of accentuates self-doubt. All those little things that you doubt just come to the fore. I mean, I do the Robben Island crossing between Blåbøk and Robben Island often. It's a training swim for me. But at 7Ks, it's easy, easy distance. But every single swim, at some point, the cold gets into my core, into my mind, and I start doubting, like, oh, don't think I'm going to make it. Am I going to get to those rocks? I start hoping a shark's going to come so the guys pull me out and I don't lose face. You know, you have those thoughts, and I love that process because it's so hard when you're in that situation, when you're that cold and that uncomfortable, to try and generate positive thoughts and to continue to perform physically. Now, Robben Island is 7Ks. It's kind of 2 hours out of my life. Something like an English Channel, which took me 12 hours and 53 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's a mental game. 30% fitness. You've got to do a lot of work to get fit enough to swim that. And then 70% what goes on in your head. And that's what I love. And that's the messages that I'm... And I do inspirational speaking, so I bring those messages back into the boardroom. And it's actually just such a cool story.
I think it's tremendous. I'm just glad I don't have to do it.
Well, yeah. It's my
I'm glad that people like you could do it for us and then tell us how it feels.
But I do notice there's never any extreme ice endurance ultra stuff in Ben's sports news.
No.
Yeah.
No, I haven't got the head to approach it. It's a mental game.
Well, listen, Ryan, it's always good to catch up, and well done, man.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for tremendous. The interest.
So you're going to go back and do it solo at some point?
I've kind of committed to myself. Uh-oh. I'm going to. We've ruffled some feathers there in Ireland by doing things.
When are you too old to do this stuff?
No, you can keep going. That's the great thing about this, that you can keep, you know, my good friend and swimming colleague Otto Tanning just became the oldest person in the world to swim the English Channel. I think he's 72.
Wow.
Uh-oh. You're going to be a horrible old piece of biltong eventually.
I know, that salt no water, it's not good for the skin.
No one will mess with you. It's great.
Who knows? Guys, thanks very much.
Sure, man. Sure, nice man. To have you here.
Well, wow.
Ben doesn't even know what to say. He's horrified.
No, but like the idea of coming face to face with one of these lion's mane jellyfish, like that alone makes you want to just take up chess. But then
so much safer.
Wow. Let mind blown.
Brilliant. All right, that's Ryan Strummer. You can also hey, how do we follow you on Twitter, or how do we get to find out more about this? Because there are going to be people who are going to think this is great and want to join you.
So glad you asked, Gareth. Firstly, Twitter is at Strammy, STRAMMIE. But easiest and where I post the most is to my Facebook page, Ryan Stramrood Swimming and Speaking. So it's Stramrood is STRAMROD.
Thank you very much.
Lekker.
You should really get a picture of the jellyfish in your profile.
Wow. Yeah, please, because
I don't
want to
see those things. I hate them. I saw millions and millions and millions.
Don't you want to pull one out of the water and just watch it die on the beach?
Yes.
Get some of your own back.
Yes.
Horrible things.
But they got their first side, you know. We were in their turf, had to deal with it.
That's nice of you. Punch them in the face, if they had a face. Monsters. It is now 6:30. Coming up, Ben Sport. That's what's next. Right, Mubs?
That's it.
Now, why is this thing not working properly? Let me just figure this thing out. Hang on. Here we go.
Good morning, gold MacBook. And you, silver MacBook. And you, space gray MacBook.
Let me finish.
You're all just so beautiful. Just look at your 12-inch retina display and force touch trackpad. Sleep now, my lovelies. I need to tell South Africa where to buy you. Introducing the all-new 12-inch MacBook, now thinner and lighter than ever, and available at iStore. Why would you go anywhere else? Visit myistore.co.za for more info. T's and C's apply.
It's back, the Botswana Annual International Music Festival. It's all happening on Saturday, the 5th of September, 2015, in Gaborone. Featuring Mafikizolo, Kulichana, Japraza, Zeus, Charmer Girl, MMP Family, Eskimos, Crispin the Drummer, Lizibo, and many more, including me, Gareth Cliff. Get your tickets online at www.webtickets.co.bw. Join us. Let's go partying in Botswana, Saturday the 5th of September, 2015. Make it a date. Don't be late.
All right, it's time for Ben to give us the latest in the sport. Mm-mm-mm. There's enough to talk about today, right, Ben? You're always busy. There's always stuff going on.
Gareth, there really is a lot to talk about. Where do we start?
Can I ask you to start with something? Because you talked to me about something before we started the show this morning.
Yes, what was it?
I hate it when you talk to me about things before the show, because then I get excited about them and I want to talk about them and I have to hear them again. So let's just share it with everybody.
Well, I try to stay quiet when I come in here, but then you ask me questions.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry.
And I'm a personal person.
Ben watched a...
Sorry, let's do that again.
Ben watched a video of the new 7 Series BMW that he was telling me about that I actually couldn't believe what he was saying. I love love when technology is advancing. And I love when we discover new ways to make lives better using technology. If you bought one of these new 7 Series BMWs, what would you get?
Probably an erection.
Yeah, but tell us what it is. Listen to this.
This is the most amazing thing I've seen in a long, long time. So Manlines, which comes and goes, but you'll always find it online. I posted this video yesterday of the new 7 Series and what it's going to do in our lives. And I've always been a big fan of the Concorde and what it did for air travel. And I think the world's always gone backwards since then. Everything's now big, fat, and bloated. But this new 7 Series, it's just amazing. You can actually bring the car out of the garage just with the actual key. You don't have to get in the car. You can remote control park it. It's got hand gesturing, so you can, if someone phones you, right, and obviously everything's hands-free, and you don't want to take the call, you make a hand gesture left, like on Tinder. You just swipe left, and then you just decline the call. Wow. Or you swipe right, then you talk. Wow. And it's got this whole voice integration thing, which most cars have nowadays, but this one's highly intuitive and very, very clever with your actual needs. This massive head-up display, and it's got like its own fragrance. There's 8 fragrance options that you can have pumped through the cabin. You can even mix up 2 of them at a time if you're feeling a bit
what
crazy.
What fragrance would you like today, Ms. Molloy? Can you imagine?
Citrus.
Yeah. Exactly. You can get a citrus fragrance going through your car. It's a great car to drive because they've got this new carbon fiber chassis. Oh, it's an 8-minute long clip. I don't watch things on YouTube for more than a minute and a half, basically. I watched this thing and my jaw was just open. Like, I want this car. Wow. Because you can get fast cars and there's always going to be a 0-100 time, but there's nothing quite like just...
Super luxury.
Oh.
Well, you know now everybody else is going to try and outdo that, so they're going to go for the next level up, and I just love the competition. It spurs on beautiful creativity.
Good point. That's another reason why I just love this car, because it just means that the S-Class has to be better, or whatever Audi's going to do has to be better, mm-hmm. which then keeps raising the bar, and we have great things to enjoy in life. Which is now why I want to become a drug lord or whatever it is that gets you that kind of money. Because I don't think I'm going to make it here or in sport. But I'll tell you who is making lots of money in sport. Well, everyone, whoever we talk about. These sports stars make so much cash, but still, they're never happy, are they?
Well, what have we got? Who are you talking about?
Well, let's start with golf. These guys are hugely rich. Tiger Woods says that Rory McIlroy could be in danger of making his injury worse by coming back so quickly. Now, as we all know, that Rory's injury of tearing those ligaments in his ankle, his left ankle, was going to be a couple of months out, at least 6 weeks. Well, he's come back fighting fit. But this course they're playing on this weekend, lots of hills, funny slopes. If you look at it, it's the Whistling Straits course. Just like I said yesterday, it's a beautiful course next to Lake Michigan. But it's not an easy walk. There's no real straight lines. There's a lot of flat ground there. So if Rory, who has played practice rounds, he has rehabilitated himself really well. As you know, he puts a lot of effort into his fitness regime. Being sponsored by Nike, he has to, because then they make videos and... That's just what they do.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a real test to see if you can firstly last those 4 days. And Tiger, you know, if there's some guy who can give you advice about extramarital affairs and fitness, he's pretty much top of the pile. Yeah.
I'd listen to him.
If you've got problems with boning or injuries, Tiger's your man. So Tiger's been through a fair amount with knee injuries, back injuries. And he said that, well, Rory maybe had come back a little bit too quick. Rory feels very confident, of course, but it doesn't mean that he is the favorite. Jordan Spieth in the bookies edges him out there. Just to run you through the usual suspects here. Jordan Spieth, he's a favorite around 7-1. Then we've got Rory McIlroy after that about around 11. Jason Day, who's done so well in the majors this year, but despite suffering from vertigo, he's always thereabouts, this guy. I don't know how he does it because, well, look, he is good. He's talented. It's the ball a long way. He's got all the attributes you need. But he just hasn't quite made it the breakthrough yet. So every time he tees it up, you think this could be it. You think the same of Justin Johnson, even though he does choke quite badly when he gets in contention. Bubba Watson's won a few times this year. He's looking good. Justin Rose also in great form, as is Ricky Fowler. But if you want to look for an outside bet, because that's what you really want to do if you are betting, look for a guy like JB Holmes. The course is going to be a little bit softer than usual. It's not going to play like a conventional links course, despite it looking like one. So if you can hit the ball nice and high, nice and far, JB Holmes is the man who's done that. He started the season really, really well, has won a few times, hits the ball really far. He does look like a pedophile, though, so he might not be the marketing favorite. He looks creepy. He wears a black glove, which reminds me of OJ. But that guy, outside favorite, I'm going to throw his name into the pile there. That, of course, starts tonight. Local coverage will start around 9 o'clock South African time, and you can look forward to a really good major. It is the final major. It's the least fancied of the majors. Obviously, everyone talks about the Open, the US Open, and the Masters, but the PGA Championship is still a real big deal with the biggest trophy, and Rory McIlroy is defending champ there.
All right.
It's going to be a great weekend, Gareth, mostly because there's still lots and lots of rugby. But to get off the field before we get on the field, Peter de Villiers, ex-Springbok coach, has basically said that Tanika Meyer has taken the Springbok team back to apartheid days.
Who said that?
Peter de Villiers. He loves a bit of sensationalism, doesn't he?
I like
him. He throws it out there. So by saying that there's only two players of color in Saturday's team, and the fact that he picked a white guy in the place of a non-white guy and picked the white guy out of position, blah, 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 blah. He's just taking it back into the late 80s. That's where Peter de Villiers feels rugby is currently. Now, basically, it hasn't been confirmed yet, but it's a terrible secret that's been sort of kept by Saru that Heineke Meyer will be in the job for another 4 years. Now, there's a lot of merit in this, right? Because what's the point of just starting from scratch every time when a guy doesn't go so well? Rather give a guy a chance to have a long time with a group of players and really actually get something out of this. We're so quick to toss a guy after 4 years, and it hasn't really worked in the past, so maybe let's try an 8-year plan, and I'm all for it. I just don't think this is the right guy to get 8 years. There's so many other people that probably should have.
You know, I don't understand. Put in them. You get into trouble, and a lot of people will give you a lip about the fact that Heineke Meyer has been signed for another 4 years. Now, I don't understand this. Performance is everything in sport.
Really,
sport's
is
the one place you can really measure merit. If a coach is not delivering results and if a team are not delivering results, you fire them. Mm. There's no feelings there. It's purely about the game.
Well, look, since he's taken charge, he's beaten the All Blacks just once. He hasn't won a trophy.
And how long has he been there?
Peter de Villiers basically bowed out 2011 World Cup, and Heineke was put in charge to make sure this World Cup was going to be a much better showing. We're going there with no real hope of winning.
Now, Heineken did well with the Blue Bulls. Why is he not doing well with these guys?
Well, Gareth, one of the theories is that, this is the theory that I subscribe to, is that Heineken had a chance to coach the Bucks, and it was 2007. The Bulls were at the absolute pinnacle. He would have taken those players that he's nurtured through a whole time. Now, again, the reason you get 8 years so you can nurture a group of players, he'd already nurtured the group through the Bulls, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he was the guy to take over 2007. Saru then had to have a non-white coach, essentially, that do something along those transformation lines. They picked Peter de Villiers after coaching the junior box for not very long. And suddenly Heineke, who would have been great for the next 4 years, wasn't. He wasn't there.
Yeah.
So they picked him in 2011. But he still had the same blueprint. So he still wanted to have the same players, like Victor, who had already said, no thanks, I'm done, retired. All these players moved on.
And he just didn't have another plan.
Didn't have another plan. This is the whole thing with Heineke, in my opinion. You can fight me on this, is that he's not very flexible. There's no real plan B with him. So now he wanted to go back to that. He's holding on to the past, and there's nothing really transforming. And he just doesn't have the balls, I think, to make the really big calls. It's like going back to the whole Jean de Villiers example. The guy that career-threatening knee injury. He's now out for another 5 weeks. When is the time going to say, you know what, John, it's not to be. Thanks, but like, it's just not to be. You're jinxed. This is not going to happen for you. I have to forge ahead and make a big call by giving someone at least the chance to maintain a position as captain and maintain that centre pairing. Because like Jesse Creel and Demi Diallo are back in action this weekend, right? They can score 100 tries. They're going to be disrupted by Jean de Villiers carrying back. It's going to happen. So, lots of controversy around that. He has he has responded to claims of Kosatu saying that it's an all-white team. Basically, allegedly speaking, there's nothing confirmed in this because no one's got the balls to man up to it. But the black players in the team have come up to Heineke rubbishing these claims that Kosatu were approached, saying that they're with him, they're with his vision, they support him 100%, and Heineke says he does not see colour. Now, such a poison chalice, this job, because he has to see color, right? Because
you have to see color
because he has
that whole idea of like putting your head in the sand. Yeah, it's bullshit. It really is. It's just childish.
Look, maybe it's a second,
I don't see color.
Maybe it's a second language thing, but basically, what he is saying, he's not gonna discriminate people based on their color. But the thing is, if you abide by a transformation plan, you have to address color. So I get what he's trying to say, but he's saying the wrong things. And at this time, it's turbulent time for him. You can't say things like that. Anyway, let's move along from that because whether we love him or
hate
him,
we don't have a solution.
There's no solution. No. It's what this country's going to be. We now need to get into this
team. We're
going to
lose the World Cup. That's it. So the rest of us must just get over it. That's all.
Yeah.
Move on.
Wow.
We've got to suck up a lot in this country, and this is just another thing. So to get into Saturday's team, well, where do we start? Start at fullback. Heineke Meyer has brought back Zane Kirschner, which again, it's like, what is this? This is a backward step. But look, Ville Roux's out. Pat Lambie's seen as a fly-off replacement rather than a fullback replacement. So there's only one option in Heineke Meyer's mind. He's kind of fought back by saying when Morne Steyn and Zane Kirschner play for the box as a combo, they have an 80% win rate, which also hints the fact that as soon as Morne Steyn's available, he'll come back at number 10. So all these ideas are having Lambie, Pollard, having an exciting game.
He does not want to change Bollocks. From his plan.
When it comes to the World Cup, they'll go safety first because that is exactly what he has. He has nothing else. 4 years. He hasn't taken them further. So another 4 years, I don't see where we're going to go outside of this. Anyway, let's just get onto this team because we're running out of time. Zane Kirschner starts at fullback. Dwight Nwovo comes in at 14. He should have been there last week. And maybe Kosati wouldn't have been so bothered. Anyway, Jesse Creel and Demi Dalena, they are back together at 13 and 12 in the centres. Then Brian De Banner gets another test cap. He's number 11. Pat Lambie comes in at number 10. Ruan Pienaar wastes everyone's time at 9. And then we've got Skalkberger, Willem Alberts, and Henrik Bissot to make up the loose forwards. Now, Heineke has said that he's just really lacked those big ball carriers that kind of get over the vantage line and make things difficult for the opposition defense. Willem Alberts will play probably about 40 minutes, and he has come back with a long injury. He, of course, was the number 7 choice for quite a long time. He's a huge guy. He does make a big effort around the field. But how he combines with Henrik Bissot is going to be very interesting to see. Victor Matfield comes back because Lotiago pulled the pec muscle in the gym, so he'll captain the side, and Ibn Isbeth will join him there in the locks. Marcel van der Berwe, Adrian Strauss, and Trevor Nyakani make up a whole new look front row. There are some changes on the bench as well. Skalk Brits is the hooker replacement, although he probably will be a Supersport analyst come World Cup time. The Beast will be there as well. Frans Malherbes recovered from a hip injury. And then we've got Flip van der Merwe and Pieter Seftoy in the bench. Pieter Seftoy is looking like he's going to be a flank replacement. Now, this is another thing that Heineke is trying to do here because he's very versatile, can play lock, is essentially picked as a lock, but look for him to take the number 7 jersey as a replacement for Willem Alberts. And you've got Kubus Reinach, Andre Pollard, and Jan Serfontein on the bench. Serfontein coming back. Of course, he was this choice number 12 for so long. The Islanders taken over from that, which they'll both fall away once John de Villiers can play again. So that's the team to try to get our first win of the year. Hopes aren't essentially high, but we've got to back the box. We've got to stay positive. That's what it all comes down to. It's talking about other international rugby over the weekend. We've got the decider of the Bledisloe Cup. That'll take place on Saturday at 9:35. That's going to be played at Eden Park, which means New Zealand will win. They're just heavily favourited there. So even if they want to experiment with a team, they just don't lose at Eden Park. So sorry, Aussies. Ireland will play Scotland at 6. England play France at 9. And then we've got our Argentinian game at 9:40. So that's Saturday. Lots and lots and lots and lots of rugby. Gareth, we've really run out of time. So we can get into the major fixtures tomorrow in our Friday big preview. So all I can say is try to be positive for the box and also get
just don't care like me and you'll be happy.
Well, the other option is get a football team to support because the English Premier League has started. Right, more sport tomorrow.
By the way, if you're looking for a football team to support, all you need to do is take your cue from the football show, which was on yesterday, another stunning show. And you can download that podcast and listen to that later on today. Very, very nice. Let us go to Anthea Gardner and see what's happening in the markets. Good morning, Anthea.
Good morning, Gareth. It's not a good news day, I'm afraid.
I know. I looked at my stocks app on my phone and I almost passed out.
Yeah, it's horrible. Jeez. Complete blood in the streets yesterday.
Oh, blood the in Aussie the streets.
The Aussie had its biggest one day drop since we've been doing the money shot yesterday.
Yeah.
So, and quite frankly, there were just too many counters for me to mention the decliners. There were so many that fell. And apparently, we're blaming the Chinese for this drop because of the devaluing of their currency. So, I told you yesterday that to me, the People's Bank of China devaluing the yuan meant that they are prepared to do anything to support their economy and the market. Mm-hmm. It seems everyone else in the market read this as a sign that China was crashing and burning and that investors needed to get out of equities and into gold, of course. This is your quintessential bull bear scenario. So I'm obviously optimistic and bullish. But yesterday the bears won the day because the selling was completely discriminate. And analysts are predicting, or they did predict, that this weakening of the yuan will continue for a couple of days. I'm afraid they're wrong because this morning, Asia is actually trading higher already and Tencent is 4% higher this morning. So fingers crossed we get a little bounce. Of course, this affected the rand. So our rand traded over 20 to the pound again yesterday. But again, this morning it's had quite a sharp pullback and is already trading around 1988.
Okay.
There were really only two companies to talk about, but one of them huge. The first was Tencent. So unfortunately, not even a decent set of results from Tencent could help Naspers yesterday. When Tencent's results were released after China's market closed, but our market, of course, was still open about 11 o'clock yesterday morning, Naspers had a little bounce, but just couldn't hang on. The share closed over 6% lower yesterday. Not good, but just some quick feedback on Tencent results. Firstly, second quarter revenue increased by 19%, which was slightly below analyst expectations and really mostly because of gaming revenues, which dropped to 17% year on year compared to the previous year of 29% growth. The good news, though, is that incredibly, Tencent has still managed to grow profit, because that was revenue number I quoted you, by 19%, mm-hmm. which is better than expected. You know, these numbers that we work with are just overwhelming some days. Tencent's profit figure was 7.3 billion yuan, which is the equivalent of 1.2 billion US dollars. That's just profit. I mean, revenue is much more than that. Mm-hmm. They also released subscriber numbers, which I think you'll be interested in. And at the end of June, there were 600 million WeChat users.
Wow. Wow.
It's 11 South African populations.
11 times the population of this country are on WeChat. Obviously, most of those are in China, but I mean, it's growing in Africa. I know that because we spoke to Brett a while ago. And that's impressive. That's an impressive number.
I'd say. How old is WeChat? I don't actually know.
No, it's WeChat's a baby. It's only about 4 or 5 years old.
Well, then that's pretty incredible.
Mm.
Then Tencent also said that they were going to make a big announcement in Johannesburg next week. Gareth, should we wait until next week, or should we steal their thunder and speculate what they're going to announce?
Go on, you steal their thunder. I like that. You do it.
So I think that they're preparing to launch a video-on-demand service to rival Netflix.
Uh-huh.
And if this is the case, then it looks like Tencent and Naspers have much more faith in South Africa's ability to provide expedient internet access, because there's no Netflix in South Africa yet. You can only get it through a third-party provider, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, you can also pretend that you've got a US iTunes account, but it doesn't get you everything.
Oh, yes, of course. There's always that option. Okay, and then one of the few counters that actually closed in the green yesterday was the property company we spoke about, NEPI, the New European Property Investment. They closed 79 basis points higher mm-hmm. in a down market on the back of a fairly decent set of results, I'd say. So property companies we value slightly differently. And because we look at them more as a bond or an income stream, we look at their distributable earnings. So the money they're paying out as a dividend, basically. And NEPI's recurring distributable earnings per share increased 24% to 17.59 euro cents, which was well above the 14.16 euro cents from the previous year. So that's great. And that's really all I've got on the local market. I don't normally comment on politics, but I see on Bloomberg this morning there's a lot of talk about Dilma Rousseff, who's the Brazilian president.
Mm-hmm.
She spoke yesterday and said that she was not considering resigning, even though there have been calls for her impeachment. Definitely did not help the market yesterday. Wow. In the last year,
poor Brazil, they're going through serious hell. We think our currency's bad. Woo.
Yes, in the last year, the Brazilian real has depreciated by 50% compared to the rand, which is only, in inverted commas, only down 20%.
Shame on Brazil. Shame. Shame.
Poor Dilma Rousseff.
What a horrible job.
Yeah. And that's it. Today we've got JSE and Curro reporting. Mm-hmm. So looking forward to those results. JSE, should be a good number, because remember, they put out a trading statement saying that results would be, what did they say, between 15 and 30% higher than expected.
So, we'll be listening to your report on those results tomorrow.
No, I'm not reporting in tomorrow. Sarah Shaw is doing the money shot tomorrow morning.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, we'll miss you, but Sarah's fine. She can handle it.
Easily replaced.
Very good. Thank you, Anthea.
Thanks, my there pleasure.
Go. There we go. Some useful info for you. So you know everything that you need to know about everything. Anthea Gardner with Money Shot. Speaking of the Money Shot and money in general, here are some quotes that Donald Trump would have changed. Famous American presidents who said these things. Thomas Jefferson, you know, he wrote the preamble to the Constitution of the United States. He wrote the Declaration of Independence. He said, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed with certain talents by their creator," all that kind of thing. So here's Donald Trump's version of these quotes. Are you ready? If he were Thomas Jefferson, he would have said, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, even though some of us will go on and make tens of billions of dollars and some of you are just losers, blah, 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 blah." Instead of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, "The only thing to fear is fear itself." Donald Trump's version, do you want to hear it? He'd go, "The only thing..." Get the accent right. "The only thing to fear is fear itself and Mexican rapists." If he were John F. Kennedy, he would have changed that quote. "Ask not what your country could do for you. Ask what you could do to help your country beat China in a trade deal, like I do all the time." If he were Nixon, "I am not a crook. Every single one of my opponents are, however, so here's a list of their personal cell phone numbers you could use and yell at them." If he were Ronald Reagan, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall." You remember that? "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall, then build us one with your money because I said so." And finally, if he were George H.W. Bush, "Read my lips." Remember the famous quote from George H.W. Bush, "Read my lips. No more taxes." Do you remember that? If it were Donald Trump instead of him, he would have said, "Read my lips. I have $10 billion. Not sure if I mentioned that or not." What a douche. Apparently, Fox News are dead against this guy, this Donald Trump. They want him out of the race.
Oh, that is a shock. I thought they were his biggest supporter.
Roger Ailes, who runs Fox News, does not like Donald Trump. He was apparently the one who instructed Megyn Kelly and the rest of the moderators to go hard on Donald. They gave him more time to talk so that he would sound dumber than the others. And it worked. It worked, except the American people love an asshole. So guess what? Donald Trump's numbers are twice as high. We'll keep an eye on this just because it's really interesting. And we'll also keep an eye on our own country. In the next couple of minutes, we'll speak to Justice Malala. This guy is he makes sense of craziness. I've got lots to talk to him about this morning, and I need to hear from Justice. I need him every week because otherwise I'll lose my mind. We look around us. I heard the president blame all the problems in our economy right now on apartheid yesterday. There's an actual article in, I think it's the Business Day. The president says that all of our economic problems right now or as a result of apartheid. All of them.
Well, he hasn't used that approach yet. So
no, he has. Yeah. He's used it several thousand times. We're totally over it by now. There we go. You choose. Who would you hate more as a president? Gedleklik Issa, who we're dealing with at the moment. And there was a great article written the other day by somebody, I must find it and give them credit, about how if we can just weather him for the next few years, this country's future is bright. We just have to make it through him. He is the problem. If we get through him and his awful administration, we will be in the clear and we can start building this country again. Would you prefer him or would you like Donald Trump to have a go?
I'll take Donald any day.
You would?
Yeah, I'll take anything other than our current president.
Well,
I would take the microphone you speak into.
As the president?
Yeah.
That's nice of you, Ben. Well, this microphone has worked hard.
Exactly. I think it deserves its run. The
microphone knows about hard work.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
Oh wow!
No,
you wouldn't choose the microphone.
Hell no! I would not choose Donald Trump. Are you insane? Donald Trump hates an entire people. He hates entire race groups.
And Jacob Zuma?
There is no way in hell I'm voting for somebody like that. Mm-mm.
I just think it's a horrible choice.
Of course, it's a horrible choice. But
it's
we need
Sophie's
to be
choice. Mad. Sophie, okay, fuck, marry, kill, Mubs. Here we go.
No, I'm going to kill myself.
No, Donald.
No, I'm going to kill myself immediately.
Listen to it quickly. You can't. That's not an option. You have to choose. All right. Donald Trump. Gedleklik Issa. And think of someone here.
Gwede.
No, wait. It's got to be someone interesting, different. Vladimir Putin. Vlad, Gedlitli Gisa, and Donald Trump. You have to F, marry, kill. Go ahead. Don't feel any pressure.
Who has,
take your time,
who has
to make
the most
a decision.
Money of the three?
Definitely Vladimir.
Yeah.
So I'm going to marry Vladimir, and then I'm going to have him killed.
Who? You can't have him killed as well.
No, no, no. I'll marry him, and then I'll arrange for him to be killed so that I have access to the money. So I'll marry Vlad.
All right.
Oh, God.
No, exactly. So you've got to F either Gedlitli Gisa or
I'm going to kill
Donald
Trump.
You're going to kill Trump?
I'm going to kill him.
Wow, there it is. Mabale's choice. That's a tough choice.
Yeah.
That is the hardest F, marry, kill I've ever given you.
I didn't like it.
That's the meanest one of all. All right, very good. It is just about 7 o'clock. Coming up in a moment, the great Justice Milana will chat to him, find out what the hell's happening in this country. And you can listen in. And if you miss anything from this morning's show, you can always catch up when you get podcasts later on. Flax, should I play your song? I found a song by Andy Gibb, who you know looks exactly like Michael Flax. Do you want to hear what? I can't hear you.
Let's hear if he's any good.
He's not bad. I like this song. Take a listen to this quickly. We come back with Justice Milana next. This is very, it's a sexy song. It's cheesy a little bit. I love it. The words are beautiful. Come on, Andy. Andy Gibb. CliffCentral.com.